Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, and welcome to Coast to Coast AM live talk radio throughout the nighttime, because this radio station cares enough for you to have live talk radio on. Top of the morning, everybody, from the Hawaiian Tahitian Islands, straight across flyover country, to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the Pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Great to be here this morning. We've got quite a bit to talk about, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Added to the gigantic list of number one radio stations across the country, survey just in for Spokane, Washington. And when you get it down, look at an hour-by-hour breakout of it, I'd say we're probably averaging about 23 or 24 share in Spokane, number one. Running away. KGA Spokane, the latest number one surveyed point for Coast to Coast AM. Absolutely amazing. Amazing. Anyway, the commander of the U.S. Navy, Chief of Naval Operations, appointed by President Clinton, Admiral Mike Borda, died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound in Washington Thursday. The officials who asked not to be identified said Borda died of a gunshot wound. He had been rushed to D.C. General Hospital from his home at the Washington Navy Yard, where the shooting occurred in early afternoon after he went home at midday from the Pentagon. A senior Navy official told reporters earlier that Borda, 56, had been shot, and that it was not immediately clear whether the gunshot was self-inflicted. Tonight they're saying it was. Shot in the chest with a .38 caliber pistol. That shooting apparently occurred on a bench outside his home. A native of South Bend, Indiana, Borda took over as Chief of Naval Operations in April of 94. He was the first so-called Mustang to ever rise through the ranks from enlisted to become the U.S. Navy's top officer. So, an apparent suicide. Motive? Possibly a Newsweek article that was about to come out. Newsweek was investigating his Vietnam War citations, ones he had worn on his uniform for years. And they were going to question that. So they're saying it is a suicide. That might be a motive. The method is kind of strange. Why would a military man shoot himself in the chest? Obviously, if you fire the bullet, you intend on truly committing suicide, right? You have decided you're really going to do it, or you have not fired the gun. Don't fire the gun. But shooting yourself in the chest is, at best, problematic in terms of getting the job done. Obviously, if you hit the heart, it's going to work. But it's not nearly so sure as shooting yourself in the head. And of all people, a military man would know or should know. So, you know, it's I'm not saying there's anything strange connected with this, because I don't know that. I just say it is, to me, a little strange that a military person would shoot themselves in the head. I got this fax, which I am going to read to you, and we'll see what we see. Dear Art, I would like to inform you of the latest news regarding the Freeman. By the way, they did meet with the FBI today. Middleman, state senator from Colorado. I trust this is from a credible source who always has documentation and not from the mainstream media. The Freeman of Montana have done a very wise thing. They've written a legal treatise regarding their situation. Negotiators have handed it over to Janet Reno and the Justice Department. Very simply, the Freeman have said, We want you to rule on the accuracy of each point of law in this treatise that we put together and tell us if it is right or wrong. And if you will do that, whether it be right or wrong, we will come out and peacefully surrender. They will not accept the Justice Department holding their document to the public and saying that it is all a bunch of garbage and false. They insist the Justice Department open and honestly before the American public rule on each point of law as stated in their treatise document, citing court cases, etc., and make their findings public. The freemen are offering a peaceful solution. If the Justice Department does not rule on these points of law and release it to the American people, then, Art, this will be a sign to the American people that this whole thing was arranged from the beginning to be another Waco, and that they have murder in their hearts, referring, of course, to the feds. If the Justice Department does go public and rule on each point of law before the American people, and the freemen don't keep their agreement to surrender, then the freemen have no honor, and we can no longer put any faith in them. I do believe that the freemen will keep their end of the bargain if the Justice Department follows through with what the freemen are asking, which is only fair. We all need to write, call, and fax our congressmen, senators, those in the Justice Department, etc., demanding that they bring this to a peaceful solution by releasing and ruling on each point in the Freeman document openly before the American people. A peaceful solution has been offered. It is now in the hands of the Justice Department. Let us pray the department will follow through so no blood will be shed. Please make this known to your listeners. Thank you. All right, well, I have done so without knowing whether it is accurate information or not. If anybody can verify or knock that down, I would be more than happy to give you airtime. Now, with regard to whether it is a legitimate request or not, I don't know. In other words, when you think about it a little bit, it is a demand. It is something that that they want done, or that they demand to be done, to do what they ought to do anyway, and that is come out peacefully and not shoot at federal officials. So I'm not sure it is proper that the Justice Department do this, and I'm not even sure that their word to come out can be trusted if they do, and I'm not even sure it's real. But I thought it significant enough to read it to you. It may be so. Landmines. Landmines kill 20,000 people a year, most of them civilian, not military. Our president was under great pressure not to ban landmines, so he didn't. He limited instead one type of landmine, said eventually, sometime, there should be a worldwide ban on landmines, but he decided he would not lead the way. And I wonder exactly what kind of pressure our president came under not to ban the mines that he had in mind to ban. Scientists, according to Reuters, are reporting the discovery of two new and very exciting dinosaur finds in Africa. University of Chicago paleontologist Paul Serrano says he's found fossilized remains of a pair of flesh-eating predators from the Cretaceous period, which lasted from 140 million to 65 million years ago. One is dubbed the shark-toothed reptile from the Sahara. At 45 feet in length, it rivaled the Tyrannosaurus rex in size. Its rigid teeth are similar to those of a shark. The other is a 27-foot-long, fleet-footed carnivore called Deltadromus, or something like that. Well, Bob Dole, the new Bob Dole, was in Chicago yesterday. Threw away his tie. It's the new look. He gave a new speech. Said Clinton is, quote, the rear guard of big government in the welfare state. Dole said Thursday, now he stands for less government, lower taxes, flatter, more freedom, and a strong, proud America at home and abroad. And then he declared himself to be no longer an insider. by one day. No longer an insider, huh? Majority leader in the Senate for most of his adult life. And one day he's out, and now he's not an insider anymore. That, much as I'd rather have Bob Dole than Bill Clinton, that is kind of a reach. President Clinton vows to extend most favored nation trading status for China, says though he's equally committed to imposing sanctions to, quote, stop the piracy of American property, end quote. So the president obviously intent on going forward with MFN for China. Bob Dole also to go along with that. Now the value jet crash, the oxygen creating canisters. Great controversy. Were they empty or were they full? And a value jet is saying that their cargo listed them as empty. And there are many people saying, no, they were full. Now, why is this even a question? Are they not able to determine in about 5 minutes whether these damn things are full or not? Why is it a controversy? No evidence, by the way, that it was the cause of the crash. No cockpit voice recorder recovered yet. So it's going to be a very, very long, tedious haul. And I feel very sorry for the people tromping about the swamp in the Everglades. It must be horrible. And I think it will end up traumatizing a lot of the rescue workers. As they may be used to this kind of thing, but I'm not sure you can ever be used to this. Our Army, the U.S. Army, is going to soon give away 176,000 surplus M1s. It'll be free. Free! And they will be given to a private organization, NRA connected somehow, which will then be sold. They'll sell the M1s, probably around $600 a piece. And the money collected will be used to support firearm safety and training programs. So in a sense, the taxpayers pay the bill. Now, the people who don't like guns are outraged. Say, my God, what a waste of taxpayer money. Instead, they would like the guns crushed. Destroyed. Now, let me think about this a little bit. If their criticism is it'll be a waste of money to give them away, what is it to crush them? So which is the right path? Which is the bigger waste of taxpayer money, would you think? Well, I've got an article here entitled Goatsucker Spreading Fear Across Mexico. The roosters had not yet crowed when the fierce barking of neighborhood dogs jolted Violeta Colorado from her sleep. The dogs had some animal cornered, some kind of animal, at the rubbish pile behind Colorado's small concrete house in Zapotola, I believe, a farm village in the steamy oil country of southeastern Mexico. When the canines growled, shuffled, and lunged early last Thursday, the besieged beast responded with a nerve-rattling hiss. I said a hiss, unlike any animal noise she had ever heard. It was a full hour she says, before the beast escaped the dogs and returned to the country night. The dogs ran after it. So, there you've got it. More apparent evidence of this goat sucker. Mexico is absolutely being consumed with news right now of this creature doing damage, attacking not just animals, but now people. Who knows? Somebody yesterday, referring to my little spoof, you remember I said the only way you can know for sure, somebody said they heard sounds out in the forest. I said, well, there's only one way to know for sure, and that is to dress a good-looking, well-endowed female in a low-cut something or another and send her into the woods. Anybody who's ever watched any monster movie knows full well that if there is a monster, it will consume any woman in a low-cut blouse who will immediately go either to the basement or into the woods, generally with a fog on the ground, and be consumed forthwith. So somebody wrote to me after that and said, first of all, he didn't think that very many listeners regarded it as a spoof. Your advice to obtain the aid of a female, give her a low-cut garment, send her into the woods some night to see if she would return the following morning. Well, I found your comments, Art, to be disastrous. I employed a female, supplied her with a very low-cut dress, directed her to go into the woods immediately. She charged me with sexual harassment. I found myself carted off to jail. Upon hearing of my whereabouts, my wife divorced me. My girlfriend wouldn't even speak to me anymore. Then I lost my job, since being in jail did not constitute an approved absence. I cannot get a room in a hotel because I had reached the limit on my credit card in trying to get myself out of jail. Therefore, I have no alternative but to blame the Federal Reserve System. So, I'm going to drive to Montana, join the Freeman, in hopes of opening a checking account. You know, I never know. You've got to learn my humor. I would assume that the majority of the audience knew that I was talking about, or that I was sort of spoofing with the gal in the low-cut dress. But it is true. And anybody who's a horror picture fan knows that it is true. Whether it's the basement or the woods or any other dark, unlit area, you could not have better bait for a monster of many kinds than a gal in a low-cut dress. I mean, they are simply monster bait. They might as well have it written right across their forehead. Monster bait. And on that note, we'll break here at the bottom of the hour. You never know, I might go for a little truth or trash tonight. Or not, depending on where it goes. We'll see how the mood strikes. Because this is spontaneous, unscreened talk radio. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. Wide open, you name it. Anything can happen, talk radio. That's what we're up to for a bit here. By the way, on the goat sucker, again, continuing with this story, Ramiro Santiago Lora, 34, who practiced veterinary medicine in an area near Zapotal. Or something like that, for 8 years, and in time has examined, quote, hundreds of animals killed by predators, said, this seems like a type of vampire. So, there you are. The beast possibly a horde of them, apparently has been moving fast and taking no prisoners. At least 46 attacks have been reported so far in 14 states across Mexico. Four people have also been attacked as of now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Harold from Dana Point.
Hi, Harold.
And I'm calling about the little thing about the freemen we were talking about concerning should they have the opportunity to let their, I guess, their feelings be known concerning...
No. Should they, if, you know, according to these facts,
right.
The question is, should they be able to demand the State Department give them rulings on law before they turn themselves in?
Well, my opinion is, under the circumstances,
yes,
and based upon the history of the federal government and the way they've handled things in the last year or two, I think as a good gesture towards the average citizen and as a good faith gesture, I think it would be smart on that part politically, and I think it would really show... you know, the citizens of this country, where the federal government's coming from.
All right. Well, let me tell you what bothers me about it. I'm not totally against it, necessarily. But if you go back to the Unabomber, who demanded that his works be published, lest he kill again, or the Freemen, who are demanding that the State Department rule on points of law, or they're going to shoot it out with the feds. It worries me a little bit, and I think it should you too, that people with guns and people who are willing to kill will, in a sense, get what they want. I'm not sure that's a precedent we want to establish.
Well, I think...
But I hear what you're saying, too.
I think if we look at the larger scale of people with guns and getting what they want... I mean, governments on a global scale get what they want through guns.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, no, it's true.
And we, the people of the United States, all we want is a fair shake. I mean, a lot of people really don't agree with what these people are doing up there, but the bottom line is they're doing something very smart right now, and they're giving the government an opportunity to take this and turn it into a good thing. But you know that's not going to happen. I doubt it very much. But on the other hand, going back to the Unabomber admitted to being the Unabomber. And he admitted to basically saying, hey, I'm the man you're looking for. These are my demands. But he actually incriminated himself by saying, these are my demands. I'm the man you're looking for. I'm the guy who's been blowing people up and murdering people.
Yes, yes.
The people in Montana right now are standing on for what they believe in. And what they believe in is, I'm sure they're not.
Okay, that certainly is true, sir. But again, they're demanding this be done on threat of gunfire.
No, the federal government is threatening the gunfire, they're threatening to defend.
All right. Look, if federal officers...
came to my house...
Now, wait now. Slow up. If federal officers have legitimate arrest warrants...
Right.
And they cannot serve them because if they try, they'll be shot.
Right.
Then I'm not sure that these men have a right to demand anything of the Justice Department prior to their giving up peacefully and facing a jury of their peers. Look, what I'm saying is I'm not certain that it shouldn't be done. Maybe it should. Maybe it should. I'm willing to debate that with you. I'm just saying that acceding to demands is inevitably going to lead to more demands by other groups who will see clearly that either killing, as in the case of the Unabomber, or the implied threat of it, unless your demands are met, works. And if it works, then a lot of people are going to begin to do it. In fact, it may well be that they are going by the response to the Unabomber's demands to be published, which he was, which arguably then led to his capture. So I don't know. I don't know what's right, what's wrong here. You tell me. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
This is Andy on 1190 KEX.
Yes, Andy.
Are you trying to say that your UFOs are put together magnetically?
I have no idea. They're not my UFOs,
well,
Andy.
Well, I mean the guy that sent you the pieces, they came back and they said they were magnetic.
No, they didn't, Andy. You're not listening.
I'm not?
No.
Before, I heard you say they were aluminum magnetic.
No, Andy. Aluminum is specifically non-magnetic.
Oh, I must have misread you.
Yes, you must have misheard me. I don't have readers, Andy. Non-magnetic. So the theory would be that in a large magnetic field, you might wish to use aluminum as a conductor, a non-affected conductor in a strong magnetic field. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Going once. Gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Top of the morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Yes, I have some information about La Chupacabra. This is Chris in Portland.
Yes, Chris.
I just came across a very well-informative article in a magazine called Paranoia.
Paranoia?
Yes, the magazine is called Paranoia.
Now, there's a title for a magazine.
The subtitle of it is The Conspiracy Reader.
All right.
So, but in any case, it's a five-page article on the Chupacabras, and there's some really, really great information in here that you might not have heard about. One of them, the most interesting that I found was it says that they took samples of its blood in Champo Rico in Canovanas. I'm assuming this is Mexico.
Let me tell you, sir, there's a lot of news that we don't get about Chupacabra in Mexico. I was delivered a videotape earlier today. Unfortunately, this fellow taped my show, you know, by plugging the audio into his VCR
right. And
running it in the six-hour mode. And what he caught was an apparent video of what is purported to be on Mexican television, a dead Chupacabra. I've got it, but it's in the six-hour mode, which means it's lousy reproduction. And I may try to convert a picture and get it up on the website, but it would purport to be the first photograph of a Chupacabra. And I'll tell you one thing, this sucker is ugly.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, in any case, this blood sample that they said they took, they had three different samples of it. One of them was found to be pretty much the same as blood, human blood with an A-type, and the second one was found to just be feces matter with diseases in it, which would be from it. And the third sample says the genetic analysis has revealed that the blood is in no way human or any other known animal known to man. Known to science. So,
that's very interesting, but again, sir, it's from a publication called Paranoia.
Indeed, it is. However, they do seem to be pretty precise with their information.
You know what we need? Hey, I've got an idea. You know what we need in America?
What's that?
We need an official course in school on conspiracies.
Yeah,
that these young people can grow up educated in the ways of knowledge of the best conspiracies, and we'll be able to talk to talk radio and be very informative when they call. All right, thank you very much. You know, in other words, the Federal Reserve, that would be one course. The Trilateral Commission. The Hidden Hand of Government. The Kennedy Assassination, two chapters. There should be a course in conspiracy in America. That way we can all be operating from the same page. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing this morning?
All right. And I guess that was it. He lost it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Mark in Decatur, Alabama.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Hey, I heard the report about these M1 Garands that are supposedly being given away.
176,000 of them.
Good heavens. Well, I think that's a good idea. I think it's been done before.
Well, the choice, you know, the gun grabbers want, they say that's a waste of taxpayer money, and they want them crushed.
Well, that costs money, too.
It sure does.
As a matter of fact, they've been doing that right down in Alabama, in Addison, Alabama. There's an arsenal there.
Mm-hmm.
And up to recently, they've been doing that. But, you know, these could be useful for, say, chupacabra hunting.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, what if these suckers multiply like crazy and the average American citizen needs protection?
Yep. Well, there are 30-odd six if they're the Garand.
Well.
And now that'll put a big hole in a chupacabra.
Well, yes. But, I mean, poor people need guns, too.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Oh, how does this happen to us, a new creature, huh? How does this happen? Why are we blessed with a new creature, and particularly something so horrible, reptilian-like, ugly, and thirsty for, of all things, blood? Sheesh. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. Calling from Albuquerque.
Albuquerque in KOB. Yes, ma'am.
Right. And have a couple of things. First, I was wondering if there was any way at all that you could have someone compare the silicone fragments that were in Art's parts to the sand at the crash scene.
It's a wonderful idea. I'm not sure that there is anything specific about the sand at the crash scene that would be different, but maybe there is.
Right.
And, you know, these parts now, Art's parts, are going through more testing, metallurgical testing now. But your idea is a damn good one.
Well, okay. Now I've got another thing here, too. Has anybody at all been able to get saliva samples from a sucked goat for testing, for DNA testing, that you know of?
Not that I know of, but you would think that, too, would be possible.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. And one more thing, the Freeman, the Justice Department can't make any findings on their legal issues. Only a court can.
That ultimately is correct.
Right.
But I guess they could issue some kind of finding or judgment or something.
Yeah, or an
opinion. The more important central question is whether they should do it on principle, on threat of a violent ending if they don't do it.
No, I think it's time they went in and got them.
Yeah. All right, thank you. I think I lean that direction, too. I mean, there's going to be a lot of sympathy for the idea of, yes, let's get the Justice Department to rule on these ideas of the Freeman. And I'm not totally convinced they shouldn't do it, but, God, it's being forced to do it at the point of a gun. Virtually at the point of a gun, because the clear implication is if they don't do it, it's going to be a violent ending. A bunch of people are going to get killed. It's kind of, in a lot of ways, like the Unabomber. The only difference is the Unabomber had already proven that he would kill. So, I don't know. The law is the law. Seems to me that they could get a ruling on all this stuff when they go to court. They're certainly going to go to court if they live. And they would have a chance, I would presume, to bring this out. I don't know. I'm batting it around, and I just can't quite yet come to a conclusion about what is proper. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Well, I can't believe it, Art.
Well, you're on the air. Yes, you are. Where are you?
I'm calling from Houston.
Houston, yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, I tried to get through all last night because I heard this very same report that you reported on earlier that was faxed in. And
One are we talking about?
The Freeman.
Oh, yes.
The situation there.
Yes, I'm not sure. I mean, that is from an individual who claims inside knowledge.
I realize that, but I'm saying I heard the same news report.
Well, it may be true then.
And I heard it on two different stations, and I tried to call you all last night, and I could not get through because I thought it was really breaking news. So, but anyway, they are offering a peaceful, solution, and I think that maybe our Justice Department ought to really, go forth on this. Obviously, they have some things they want public, some rulings that they want, known to us.
Yeah.
And, I don't like the guns and all, but I think everyone should be calling, their congressman and, everyone in the
Are you sure that it's the right thing to do?
I think so. I think it might be. I really do. I think we should urge, and everybody should call and demand that they come forward and bring this before the public. I mean, what, you know, what could be, you know, the harm in that?
Well, all right, thank you. But there could be harm in it. That's what I'm saying. There could be. Look, maybe it's an all right idea. I don't know. But the idea of under pressure making concessions. Look, if you wrote some hot checks, you, and they came to your home with an arrest warrant, and you said, back off, damn it, or I'm going to blow a hole through that door and you on the other side, and you began a holdout in your house with high-powered rifles, I mean, what do you think would happen to you? Just a random thought. Now, it may be they should make concessions to this group, but I tend to think not. I tend to think the damage from making that kind of concession is greater. Well, then you want to say than a loss of life, no? So, I'm not sure what's right. I'm not sure. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Todd from Portland, Tennessee.
Hi, Todd.
Yeah. How are you?
I am okay.
Okay. What do you think about the... Well, what I was going to ask you about is do you think that these militias are as behind these freemen as they let on to be?
No.
Mean, we got militias all around here and everywhere else.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think there are some fringe groups that are supporting the freemen, but that by and large, most mainstream militias are hanging back. Do not support, nor do they say they're going to come rushing in if something begins to occur. However, if enough fringe groups were to become involved in a confrontation and it spread, then some of the mainstream militias would begin to move, and then you'd have a war. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It would take quite a bit to get the bigger ones into it, I'd say.
I would agree with you, but you see, wars start very, very easily. And if you've got some fringe-type folks who would rush to the aid of the militia with guns, and there began shooting between the FBI, BATF, maybe even military units, and fringe groups, enough of them, and a bunch of people began to get killed, then the thing would have spread because of, but way beyond, the freemen. Then you're running the risk of a war. It's called a civil war. Could it happen? Yes. Could that spark it? Yes. Should the State Department rule on their points of law? I'm not sure.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16, 1996.
This is interesting. Somebody sent me the actual FBI issuance of a warning, and I will protect this person's privacy, and they have asked that I do so because they would be easily identified. But this is the purports to be, and I believe it to be, the actual regional broadcast to law enforcement agencies of exactly what some groups are thought to have in mind, targets of opportunity, that kind of thing. So I appreciate your sending this to me, and I'll go through it very carefully. Take a look. So we're talking about the Freeman a little bit. There is a report that they have asked the Justice Department to rule on several points of law. Now, this is it's not a sure thing. I got it in a fax. Somebody just called and said, yes, it's been airing elsewhere as well. The Freeman have a law treatise, and they want the Justice Department to rule on it point by point and claim that if the Justice Department will do so, that no matter how they answer, they will come out. And I've been sitting here not altogether sure about what's right. In other words, should the Justice Department give in? It's literally at the point of a gun, because obviously if they don't come out, there's going to be a dynamic resolution to this standoff and people are going to be killed. So they're in essence saying either do this or we're going to, you know, it's going to be a shootout. So I'm not sure what's right. I mean, the Unabomber got published. These guys want their points of law tended to before they'll come out. And all I can say is this. If you were accused of, keyword, accused of, writing a bad check, hot check, whatever, and a marshal came to your door with a warrant for arrest, would you think you would have the opportunity to have points of law ruled on by the Justice Department before you were taken into custody? The answer to that clearly has to be no. So whether or not we should do it for the Freeman, I'm not sure. Art, if you will answer this, please. If the only way you could eat was to get the chip in the right hand, you know, the chip. By the way, well, I was saying earlier, there we're getting to the point in America now where I think there should be a class in our schoolrooms, conspiracy class, so that people might have their conspiracy IDs together. So then when they graduate, they can call talk radio and they can talk intelligently and know how to properly bash the Fed, the Rockefellers, Bill Burgers. They will know how to talk about JFK's assassination, knowing the multiple or single bouncing bullet theories. There would be no end. The hidden hand behind the hidden hand behind the hidden hand. Perhaps they would be forced to memorize all the names of the people who are on the Trilateral Commission, that sort of thing. Anyway, Art, please answer this. If the only way you could eat was to get a chip in your right hand, would you get it and lose your soul, or refuse it and lose your life? Ray asks this impertinent question. Well, first of all, I don't know that I'd lose my soul if I had the chip. Now, if I had a chip that I could just wave in front of the supermarket thing, and there would be my bill, no cards, no numbers, nothing, just wave your hand in front of the little scanner. And so, would I starve to death or take the chip in the right hand? Interesting, provocative question, Ray. I'd probably take the chip. You want the truth, right, Ray? Starve to death? I'm not interested in doing that. Here, put that chip in. No, I don't know. I understand the spirit of the question. And it's lousy, Ray. And then there's Art. If you send the woman with a low-cut garment into the woods, this is for La Chupacabra, right? She must be reminded to repeat constantly the phrase, "Who's there? Is anyone there?" Last night, someone butchered the pronunciation of chupacabra in an interesting way. I believe he called it chupacargo. Maybe these creatures work for UPS, he says. Hi, Art. Is it not interesting that Mexico experiences thousands of UFO sightings, then a few months later is inundated with strange new critters? What did the one in the video look like? Yes, I have a video. The one in the video looked looked horrible. Somebody sent me a video from Mexico of what purports to be a chupacabra, and it's got great big teeth. It looks like it has been dead for a while, but clearly it is no animal that I know of. Unfortunately, he did it on VHS on the six-hour speed, and what he was doing was recording my program. The audio is my program, but the video is of a Mexican TV station, and as part of the hours of coverage, they put on some coverage of what purports to be a chupacabra, and I've got it, but it's in the six-hour mode. You know, he's using the long record mode. So I've got this video, which I may try to convert to a photograph, a still, and then upload, if you want to look at what purports to be a real chupacabra. And it could be. It looks awful. Absolutely awful. I just wish the shot was better. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Can't believe that they're trying to dupe you into agreeing with conceding to the Freeman's demands.
Yeah, I'm not real hot on it. I mean, I'm considering it, I guess, the way I did the demands of the Unabomber to be published.
But it's completely different. Here, the Freemen are breaking the law, trespassing.
Well, they're breaking the law also and not allowing themselves by force of arms to be served.
That also.
Yeah.
And the place to prove that or disprove it is
court.
The court.
No, I agree.
And think about the danger of having law enforcement interpreting or ruling on laws.
Things the court ought to be ruling on.
Exactly.
The Justice Department can give opinions. It can't rule as a court would rule. But even demanding opinions...
They're turning the system upside down.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's a horrible... a precedent to establish. So I don't think I'm for it. But then the other side of the coin is, if that would end it peacefully, instead of a bunch of cops and FBI and BATF getting killed, along with a bunch of people inside getting killed, it's a weighty item to think about.
Well, that it is. And they should just wait. They have to come out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're going to be parking out there for a year, let them park out there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they will come out.
Do you think, the example I gave earlier is, if you wrote a hot check and a marshal came to your door to serve you, and you said, get the hell out of here, I'm going to blast a hole in that door and through you too, what do you think would happen to you?
I would think I would get blown away.
Yeah. Probably you would. All right, thank you very much for the call. Would you be afforded the consideration of having somebody, the Justice Department, on your demand, or somebody ruling on what you believe to be your points of law? And right now I'm not even saying the Freemen are right or wrong. I'm simply considering whether the government should, you know, cede to their demands in this case. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling with a comment regarding the death.
All right, if you would, sir, get close to your phone and yell at us, because you're very weak.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
That's much better, yes.
Okay, yeah. Patrick in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling with a comment regarding the death of the Chief of Naval Operations.
Yes.
I saw a news broadcast on one of the networks regarding that earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they mentioned was that when he was being questioned by somebody from Newsweek regarding what certain of the medals that he was wearing had been for, was that he turned to one of his aides at that point and said, "How should I handle this?" And don't know what the aide said then, but then he said, in reply, well, maybe I'll tell the truth. Now, I don't know. I mean, obviously, that doesn't necessarily prove
where
there was any foul play going on, but
where,
I'm wondering...
Sir, where did you get that?
That was on a... let's see. It was on one of the networks, Nationwide News this morning. No, excuse me, this evening. I think that was the Paramount Network.
Okay.
I think, yeah. So if anyone out there knows anything more about that...
I'd appreciate the input as well. What I don't understand, I understand suicide. I understand that somebody might find reason to take their own life. What I don't understand is a military man who would shoot himself in the chest. That really, really doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be done. It certainly could be done easily enough. But if you wanted to get the job done, if you were really intent on committing suicide, shooting yourself in the chest is really problematic, and you really might survive it. And then, so I just don't know why he would have done that. That puzzles me. And I would think it should puzzle and cause investigation as well, those who are looking into this. Very strange. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. I've got a theory on the Chupacabra bite marks.
Where are you?
I'm in Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh. Has Chupacabra turned up in Kansas City yet?
Well, I think there's one living in my backyard, but I'm not sure.
I understand. All right.
Well, you know, the outside marks, there's two puncture marks, and then on the inside there's four.
Yes.
I have a feeling that the the outside marks are the first strokes, and then maybe the fangs are withdrawn, and then the head is tilted, and then there's another stroke through the same two holes on the outside, and then the drinking of the blood takes place from the first two on the inside, and the second stroke, which produces the second set, is just a hold on.
Yuck.
Pleasant thought.
Yes. How about a nice late evening stroll down a dark road, sir?
Just me and Chupa. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, take care. And I wish I knew what this creature was. The video that I've got is very upsetting. If you saw this, you know, it shows a jaw and the teeth, and the teeth... The jaw is sort of prehistoric. It's really weird, and the teeth are long, and I'm going to try to snap a single photograph out of that. I may be able to. I'll do the best I can. Unfortunately, again, though, it was in the six-hour mode, and the six-hour mode is good for audio, but it sure isn't much for video. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Johnny from Hawaii, Kai, Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of things I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
I've been listening to you for a while now. I called a couple times last week. Anyways, whatever happened to Doc Democrat?
Well, I guess he's around.
I was just wondering. I used to love to hear him. And
I think he called 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, well, another thing I wanted to talk to you about was the Freeman.
Yes.
And I agree with some of the callers that called in last night, and I believe that it's time that the FBI or the tobacco, firearms, whoever, I believe it's time we take some kind of action against those people now. This is, I don't know how many, the 57th day or something like that, if not longer, that, you know, they haven't accomplished a thing. We're wasting a lot of money on it, and... I don't know what we should do about it, but I think we should do something about it.
Well, they're trying everything. I mean, Bo Greitz has been there. Senator Duke from Colorado's there now, trying to act as middle person. They've gone absolutely nowhere. I got a message here saying they want the Justice Department, you know, to rule on their law treatise. Point by point, and if the Justice Department will only do that, they say they'll come out.
Huh.
Do you think that is something that should be done, or should they get the same?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying, you know, but I believe we should set a certain timeline. We just can't let this keep going on and on and on without, you know, anybody You know, just we're at a stalemate right now.
I absolutely agree with you, sir, and that's what I said. Last night I went on into the IRC chat, and somebody asked me exactly that question. They asked what I think should be done in the case of the Freeman. And in my one-line reply, you know, when you're in a chat room, you issue one-line replies, was I think there ought to be an ultimatum given. And I do think that. That way, the ball goes back into their court. Basically, the law is saying, look, the law is going to be applied to you as it is to everybody else. You have until such and such to come out. And any time after that, expect a dynamic entry. In other words, we're going to come in and get you. I think that's what needs to be done, or that's what I would do if I were in charge. And then if they want points of law decided, or they have claims, they can be made in open court. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, it's really interesting about the wind tonight, I'm noticing, you know. The wind only blows, you know, I'm hearing you on a kind of a staticky station right now because you come in full force in about an hour.
Where are you?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay.
So I'm hearing you well about four places on the radio,
uh-huh.
But they're, you know, somewhat staticky. But I can hear you fine when, like this last caller.
Yes.
I heard you fine, so the wind was not blowing. And when you're talking about the chilabra, whatever,
chilabra?
The wind is not blowing. But when you were talking about the surplus stuff,
yes.
You know, in the news, the wind blew so much that it moved that, you know, that's what the guy at the radio station told me. It was the wind blowing the antenna.
Oh.
That I couldn't even hardly hear you. So the wind blow, it's interesting, don't you think?
Vaguely, but I would not necessarily attribute what I'm saying.
And when you're talking about the Freeman, when you're talking about the Freeman.
Yes, was the wind blowing then?
The last caller, the wind was not blowing. But the other callers, the wind began to just blow.
Well, listen.
I couldn't even hardly hear it at all.
You don't have enough of a database here. And what you need to do is write down my topics, and you need a wind meter there.
This is so interesting.
Well, yeah, but
the
wind. Look, we can look. We've got to nail this down, and the only way to do it is for you to have a wind meter, so that you can listen to the topics, write down the topics, and write down the mile per hour reading on the wind.
All right, I will. Thank you.
And then over a period of time, we can nail this down.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and. People in Oklahoma with much time on their hands, apparently. Yes, well, the wind. Wind. Jeez. It's going to be a fun night, I can tell. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I'm in Alaska.
Alaska, yes. How's the wind up there?
And I thought you said you read the Bible.
Oh, yes.
You do?
A number of times.
Uh-huh. And you don't know anything about the number, and you should know that it's...
The number is 666 on the chip in my hand. Is that what you meant?
That
is the number of the beast, is it not?
Well, no, nobody's proven it.
Well, I know, but that is...
what a bunch of religious people say.
A bunch of religious people, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in taking the chip, I would not then... See, I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So you
said you would take it. So the Bible says if you take it,
you lose your soul, right?
You've had it.
Your soul is gone.
So
your soul is dog meat.
And now, the other night, you said that you...
Listen, I've got a break here. You're on a toll-free line. You hold on. I'll come back to you after the break, all right?
Thank you.
And we'll talk about the latest chipset.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. Well, somebody named Joy here in Toronto sent me a number purporting to be that of the Freeman. It is not. It is of an information center. And she woke some poor fellow up who is not feeling well anyway and didn't want to go on the air. So we'll check back with them in a few days, but it is not the, it is absolutely not the Freeman. They are in contact with those who have gone to jail and so forth, but not actually with the Freeman. West of the Rockies, you're back on the air. Hello.
Yes.
We were talking chips.
Well, I'm through talking chips.
Are you? Okay.
Freeman, over
to the Freeman.
I was wondering, you said, I believe you said that either last night or night before, the way to change this, anytime you want to tell the government what you think, is to go through the court or the law, right?
No, I don't recall saying that. I mean, I certainly feel that the proper place for this to be adjudicated is a court, yes.
Is in a courtroom. All right.
Yes.
What if the courtroom won't listen to you? This is how the Freemen are trying to get our attention, because they did try at first. This started several years ago. They did try at first to get somebody to listen to them, and no one listened to them. So like the Unabomber, at least they didn't kill anybody so far. They have tried to get somebody to listen to them.
No,
now,
but clearly
here
now.
They are
now,
right back in the same position.
Ma'am, clearly, though, the threat is if you don't do this, there will be an armed confrontation, right?
Yes, and that's the only way they can do it, if you will listen to them.
Well, why do they have more of a right, using threat of violence, to be listened to than you or me?
But they didn't at first.
No, I'm just asking that as a general question. Why should they have more of a right, once an arrest warrant is issued, to have a forum than you would or I would, under the law?
Under whose law?
under the same...
Okay. Now, I know you don't like this, but why did George Washington and all of our forefathers have the right to... tell King George to go fly a kite when they were supposed to be obeying his rule, but they didn't like his rule.
Do you think that
same thing?
Is it?
Yes.
Is it really? In other words, is it time Americans took up guns, turned this government over, overthrew the government, and change things and take them? I don't know what you would consider back to their constitutional beginnings. I'm sure that's what you and others would claim. Is it time to do that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I see.
It's time
to have an armed revolution.
Back to the original Constitution. It has been stolen right out from under us. Whether I know you don't think it has, but it has.
Well, it's eroded, ma'am, but I don't think it has been stolen. And the fact that you're on the radio saying this right now tells you that your constitutional rights are not gone.
Well, to you, yes. Art, you know, you are able to get a hold of these people that you say are listening to you. Why don't you try to get some of these permission to get some of these Freemen on the air and
interview
them yourself?
I have absolutely no problem with that, but it is my understanding that their telephone communications have been cut off and they are only able to communicate by phone with the FBI.
Well, I've seen them on TV meeting this afternoon. Now, somebody could hand them a telephone and let him talk to you.
All right, well, look, I'm open to it. Yeah, look, I'm open to it. Now, let me see, how can I do this? You know me, I'll interview anybody. Sure, of course I'd interview them. And I would interview the FBI as well, or the BATF, or any of the officers that are on watch out there. Or anybody from Justice, the Justice Department, or anybody else. I guess I'm just asking, I asked her, why should they have more of a right than she would have or I would have to a forum, to be heard or to have some point of law that I would like ruled on before I give up and put my gun down and don't kill? why should they have more of a right? Her answer was, basically, yes, it's time for an armed revolution. That's why, because our constitutional rights are gone. And she's correct. I don't agree with her. Eroded, yes. Every time the government faces a greater threat, drugs, crime, juvenile crime, senseless murder, gang warfare, in order to do something about it, it's going to compress your rights under the Constitution. Or somebody's rights. That's a true statement. So, I don't think it's time to pick up guns and change our form of government, because it is not our form of government that is the problem, and that's where everybody's going wrong. It is us. We are the problem. And if our constitutional rights are evaporating and being compressed, we're the ones doing it. Don't you get it? A lot of people don't get it. To a lot of people, it is them, the government, taking the rights from us. Well, no, it isn't either. No, damn it, it is not. I'm not saying they might not take advantage and go farther than they ought in some cases. But basically, most of what's occurring is a response to what we are doing. 100,000 more police on the streets? Why? Well, because we've got a lot of indiscriminate crime going on out there. That's why. A war on drugs? Why? Because it's destroying America. That's why. Now, in fighting that war, certain liberties are taken. Both meanings apply. Certain liberties are taken. And this will continue to be the case as we become greater in population, as we continue to centralize that population, as that population continues to misbehave and break the law, it will be tougher on everybody. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. Art, talk about the free men.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wouldn't it be worth putting this on the air and, you know, discussing it? You know,
yes. Yes. The answer is yes. I'm not
stop
sure.
A,
yes.
The possibility of a revolution?
Yes.
And
I would love to do it. Now, how to do it is another question.
I understand they have hams. You're a hams operator?
Ham operator. Yes, I've heard that, but and I put out a frequency on the air, but I have yet to get any feedback from anybody saying they have heard anything.
Hmm. Okay, I've listened on that frequency on my shortwave.
And
haven't gotten anything.
Yeah, well. So okay. How do I talk to them? I would love to, sure.
Yeah, but, you know, might give me your call numbers or whatever and see if you can hear from them.
All right, thank you. Look, I well understand we are heard there at the compound. I understand the FBI and the BATF all listen. We're all across Montana. We hit Montana from a million different directions, believe me. Now, if anybody can help, here is one thing that you could do. You can fax me. If you have an idea of how I can get hold of them, you can fax me. I'll give my fax number on the air right now. It is area code 702-727-8499. While I try and think of another way to get this done, that is one way. If you have a phone number or if you have a contact, somebody who can put me in contact with them, sure, I'll publicize it. I would like to hear what they think their points of law are. I would like to hear whether, in fact, this is even true, that they want the State Department to rule on this or that. I don't know. I've got this from what seems to be a reliable facts source, but who knows? So, yes, you know me. I'm open to it. Based on what I know so far, I don't at all agree with what these so-called freemen have done. But I have an open mind, and I have an open microphone, and I am, of course, willing to do anything I can to prevent or forestall violence. And if getting their points on the air would do that, I'd be more than happy to air it, of course. So I think an initial way to begin is by fax. If you have a way of my contacting these folks, or they want to contact me, I would presume they could call out on cellular or get a message out by ham radio or some other method and get somebody to fax me with a way to contact them, and sure, I'll put them on the air. You bet. Back now to the lines and all of you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art. This is Walter on Albuquerque.
Hello.
Hey, I've been trying to get through to you. I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Dealing with this Freeman and everybody else who says, well, our rights have been violated. Well, you know, if you don't practice your responsibilities, you begin to lose your rights.
Yes.
And I wonder if they went out and voted in the last election or not.
It's always a good question, and I think many times the answer is no.
And another thing, I think they should just go ahead and move in on them.
Yes.
And just don't give them no quarter, because they've given them enough time already.
So you two think they should just move in?
That's it. I don't think, you know, these points of order or whatever they have, they can bring it out in court. Everybody's, you know, they can have their time on the witness stand, just like anybody else who's accused of a crime.
That's it. All right. Thank you. And if it was you, if it was me, we would be hauled off, and you know it. And the only reason they're not being hauled off right now is because they have lots of guns, and they are threatening to use them. Not be taken alive, right? No, sir, not going to submit to your corrupt judicial system. Will not be taken alive. That is more or less what they're saying, right? And I just don't think it's proper that we cave to those demands any more than the police or marshals would cave to such demands that I would make on a personal basis. That's the thread of my thinking on this. Oh. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Nonpartisan Tim in San Diego here.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Pretty good. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think it's everybody's personal decision when the government has gone too far and it's time to take it back. We were given the right to do that. Thomas Jefferson wrote that, you know, when a government, I don't know the exact word, but when a government no longer represents the people, when it becomes a tyranny, we have the right to overthrow it. And,
yes,
of course, not everybody is going to agree at the same time when that point has been reached.
And you think that point has been reached?
No, I do not.
You don't.
But I do believe that the freemen have, you know, nobody can sit here and tell them that point hasn't been reached. If they feel that it has, then they're going to take the appropriate action.
Well, if a lot of people felt that point had been reached, then I would think the militias, which consider themselves, I'm sure, the point guys in the watchfulness over the government, would have been rushing in, and they're not.
Well, it's not for them to decide when the point has been reached. It's for each, I believe it's for each individual person has to decide for himself.
Yes, sir, but my point was that if many such decisions had already been made, then surely the militias, which are the point guys in watchfulness, would be rushing to the assistance of these free men, so-called.
Right, you're right, and because they haven't, that shows you that most likely the militia have not decided that the point has been reached.
And if they haven't, we're behind them, I'm sure, in making that decision. So if the militia has not made that decision, then what should be done? should these men, then, be brought to justice as you would be or I would be?
Yeah, I think they should, and I think they will be. And as far as what gives them the right to have their say before they are brought to justice, I think if you look at it from their point of view, they're about to be railroaded. Now, I don't believe they are. You don't. I think we both agree that they should be in jail, or at least be in court in front of a jury. But from their point of view, they're about to get railroaded. So they want to make public whatever it is they want to say before they are, you know, shelved, put away. And you know, I think that's what gives them the right to take their stand and have their say before they are put away.
Well, all right. Then what do you have to say about this, that then other people, groups or individuals, at the point of a gun or the threat of a bomb or whatever it is, will demand their various little demands before they are taken in front of a court for judgment? You think that's okay, that would begin to happen generally?
Well, it may or may not begin to happen generally. If it does, obviously,
yes,
or I think by course, the authorities, the law enforcement, are going to take each situation case by case. And if the situation allows them to take the person into custody without giving them their say, that they're going to do that. If they're in a situation like this where it saves everybody a lot of trouble by letting them say what they want to say, then they'll let them have their say. I think it's a case-by-case type thing.
All right, sir. The Olympics are coming up in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And if a bunch of athletes were taken hostage in Atlanta, and a group said, you will publish in papers throughout the United States our, whatever it is, our agenda.
Yeah.
Or else we will kill these athletes. What would you do?
Well, you've got me, Art, because that's always been a very, very tough one for me as far as, you know, giving in to terrorist demands. Half of me goes along with the theory that you never give in to terrorists because that just invites more of it.
In what way are these freemen different than terrorists?
Well, they don't have hostages, number one. So,
well, they've got women and children in there, and that must be what's stopping the FBI and ATF, I'm sure.
Yeah, but...
And they're not exactly hostages, but they're threatening death. Death of their own death, that of federal officials who would come and try to serve warrants peacefully.
That's true, but I mean, I think the immediacy of the situation is different because in a true terrorist situation, a hostage situation, they've got innocent bystanders, you know, and they're threatening their lives. In this situation, everybody in there, I think, is in there voluntarily, whether they be women or children or not. I'm sure they've been given an opportunity to come out.
All right, well, I'm thinking this one over, and what I will try to do, I guess the only, you know, other than discussing this with you, as we are now doing, the only other thing that I could do would be to give them a hearing if they can find a way to contact me. We are now the largest live talk show in America, period. It would be an appropriate forum, and I would allow it. So, again, let me give out my fax number, all right? And if somebody can get through and get me in touch with these free men, I will air what they have to say. And my fax number is area code 702-727-8499, 702-727-8499, and they can communicate with us by fax, internet, shortwave. There are all kinds of possibilities, and I'm open to all of them. I would like to see this end peacefully, but I am weighing against that wish the rule of law, which, if it is to mean anything, in my opinion, must apply to all of us equally. And it must be true that marshals, federal officials, and representatives of courts that have valid arrest warrants be allowed to serve those warrants without being shot, without having to give in to demands so as not to be shot. So it's a pretty weighty question, I would say. Wouldn't you? One way or the other?
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. This is an interesting story. It just came from Jerry in Hawaii. Dear Art, knowing you've got your own cats, I think you'll find this story interesting. Living here in Hawaii, most of us live in condos. My family lives on the fifth floor. For the past 3 months, a minor bird has been harassing our cat named Rascal. Well, last evening, the bird was back and driving our cat crazy. Rascal likes to sit up on the dresser that is against the window screen to get a nice breeze. The bird kept diving down as if it was going to attack Rascal the cat. Well, the bird landed on our lanai, or balcony, if you will, and was making a lot of noise just to drive our cat crazy. That's when all hell broke loose. My 6-year-old son opened the sliding screen door to chase off the bird. The cat saw her chance, ran to the lanai, and caught the bird. Unfortunately, however, they were both over the lanai and fell 5 stories to the pavement below. The bird, DOA, at the scene. We wrapped the cat in a blanket, rushed her to the emergency vet clinic here in Honolulu. They took x-rays, and the findings were a sprained left front paw. I think the bird helped break the fall for Rascal. She's home, resting, and has a bad limp. I don't know about you, but a 50-foot fall onto concrete means this cat should not be here now. P.S. We are not going to change her name to Lucky. Well, if she had 10, she's got 9 now. That's what I would say about that. We've been talking a lot about the Freeman, and I've got a fax which purports to suggest the Freeman have made the government an offer, and that is that their law treatise, be ruled on point by point. And if the Justice Department is willing to do this, they are then willing to come out, and there will not be a bloody exchange. I have no way of knowing if this is an accurate piece of information, but it has been aired elsewhere. So my fax simply adds to that. If it is true, I'm not sure what's right. In other words, I'm not sure that our government should, under pressure, be forced to do something for these so-called freemen that they would not do for the rest of us. That is, give us some consideration or rulings or opinions of law prior to our making ourselves available under a lawful warrant for arrest. Doubtful you would get such a consideration. But on the other hand, if it would prevent deaths, it's got to be considered, I suppose. But I think when you balance it, the answer probably ought to be no. It may be yes. And that will be a political a kind of a cave-in, huh? Listen, how many of you are on the Internet? I've spent the last few days after the program, as I'm able, on a chat room, on the Internet, IRC chat. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, this is Thad in Boise.
Yes, sir.
You had a caller earlier talking about the Mark of the Beast, the 666 number.
Yes.
And maybe somebody can call you with more information than I do, but this is just something to think about. On the UPC symbols, you know, things
that's
are...
That's United, Unified Product Code or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing this actually in high school, which wasn't too long ago for me. On those UPC symbols, if you look on the right, far right side and the far left side and in the center, there's two lines on each side. So there's two lines on the right, two lines in the center, and two lines on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And those two lines are representative of the number 6, and it has something to do with the way that the scanner reads it. And I'd like to know more about it if somebody out there wants to call and has more information about it computer-wise, but it's just something to think about.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Well, people have been talking about that for years. That is not new. Mark of the Beast. Somebody sent me a fax and said, Art, if you had a choice of eating or having a chip implanted in your hand and losing your soul, what would you do? I don't know. What would you do? Would you take the chip? My guess is that before it ever came to that, we'd be at war or something. That's a real answer. Don't you think? Chip, implant a chip in your hand? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, hi.
Hi there.
Alex from Houston.
Hi, Alex.
I've been listening to your show for about a year, and I just thought I'd just give you a call for the first time.
Finally decided to do it after a whole year, huh?
Well, I actually finally got off of work early enough to do it.
I see.
About the Freeman in Montana.
Yes.
They're arguing about their rights being taken away and everything like that.
Yes.
Don't they, like, realize them doing that, them actually causing the commotion that they're causing? They wouldn't be able to in a lot of places in this world.
Oh, no.
We'd never
The allegations are they have threatened to kill some local officials. They put out bounties on local officials. They even issued a warrant against a militia, militia of Montana leader. They've allegedly written hot checks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking about some fairly serious things here.
Yeah. Man, you know, I used to work in a trauma center, and I had to quit because I got sick. I kind of caught HIV and everything. And you go to a grocery store, and you have to realize in a lot of places you can't even do that. We got it good. The government kind of sucks, and there's a lot of bad things and everything like that. But people, we got it pretty good. I mean, yeah, we need to work on a lot of things, but a lot of people got to use some common sense.
Well, I agree with that. Thank you. I do agree with that. Common sense. What does common sense tell you about the situation in Montana? Even though I believe what I believe, which makes a lot of people angry, you know, which I don't care about. I really don't care about. I'll have my opinion no matter what. I still have an open show. And I again say that I would be willing to have either the Freeman or a representative of the Freeman on the program to talk as a guest, to present their case. I would be willing to do that. I don't know that the FBI would allow it to be done, but I would allow the forum. I know that we are heard widely by both sides in Montana. So again, I say, the offer is open, and I would allow a fair a presentation to be made, as I do with all of my guests from the Freeman, and allow you all out there to be the judge. I would definitely allow that. Of course I would. So there are a lot of people very angry at me for my position, my take on this. That's too bad. This is still a free, open forum, and despite my opinion, whether it's on this or anything else, I will allow a free and open discussion. People will write to me and send me faxes and say, well, you just cut the people off that want to talk in defense of the Freeman. No, I don't. not any faster or quicker than I do anybody else. And how long you're on the air depends on how long the call or the subject matter that you're presenting appears to be productive. It's as simple as that, and I treat everybody in that respect equally. But with regard to the freemen themselves, I would allow either a representative of or the freemen themselves to make a significant presentation. It is of public interest. So naturally, if I'm allowed access, I would do that. Guaranteed. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Goodbye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, it's Bill.
Yes, sir.
John from Youngstown.
Youngstown, Ohio. All
hey,
right.
Last year I sent you a letter about conditions in Moscow.
Yes.
Did you get it?
I believe I did, yes.
I never got an answer. I was in Moscow last April of 95.
Uh-huh.
And my advice is that the run from St. Pete to Moscow, do not fly Aeroflot.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Do not travel alone. Other than that, it's cool. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm bound and determined. St. Petersburg is the safe and pretty place to go. But while I'm there, I really want to see Moscow. And so I am going to go.
Well, on April 10th last year, I was in Lenin's tomb looking at Lenin.
Is that right?
It's a once-in-a-lifetimer. I've been in 19 countries. You will not regret it. But don't travel alone. Don't travel alone at night. And don't fly Aeroflot.
How did Lenin seem to you?
Stuffed. They don't really let you look. They keep the line moving, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure
but
they do.
But the good news is he's still stuffed.
All right, sir. Thank you. Still stuffed. Yeah. I don't know why I want to do that, and I know that it is a little bit dangerous. I've heard a lot about Moscow, but I really do want to see it. It's kind of an option from St. Petersburg one day, and, you know, you only live once. Play hard, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Mark from Riverside, California.
Okay.
And I'd like to let people know in California that there's a Dynetics event happening at the Shrine Auditorium.
We don't allow PSAs, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do a PSA. I just...
Yes, you were.
Okay.
We don't allow PSAs, so not without clearing them first, because we can't have any way of knowing the information you're giving out is accurate.
Okay, sir. Sunday's program was quite interesting.
A Sunday's program. Oh, you mean Dreamland.
Dreamland, you're
uh-huh.
right.
Uh-huh, yes.
I found the discussion about prenatal memories coming from data also that is in Dianetics.
What is the earliest memory you have?
Earliest one I have, probably about 3 or 4.
3 or 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true for me, too. How about the rest of you? What is the earliest thing that you can remember? It's easy to confuse what you were told by your mother about what you did when you were little with your actual memories, your real memories. And I can sift back through them now, but I can't fully delineate between what my mom told me about what I did and what I really have is my own memories. There are some of my own memories I can clearly identify as that, but not all of them. Have you ever tried reaching back to see how far back you could actually remember? There are people who claim they have remembrance of swimming about in the womb and kicking mom. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Art?
Yes.
Let me turn my radio off.
Yes, good.
Okay. Great talking to you.
And you? Where are you?
This is Tom in St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
I just kind of wanted to relate some experiences that I had. I, too, was once paranoid about the government and the world situation. And after studying various religions, I found out that the us versus them mentality is not the true path to enlightenment. And that if you don't overcome that, you'll never find your true way in this world. And I was wondering what you kind of thought about that.
Well, what I think is that them is us.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I listen to people busily being paranoid, cynical, anti-government, blaming everything on the government.
Uh-huh.
When the majority of the blame rests with the image in the mirror, actually. In other words, the government may be a bit rascally and may do things it ought not do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it doesn't. But most of what it does in response to what we're doing.
Yeah. I agree. I think it is up to us to better this world in whatever way we can. And
each person, one person at a time, sir.
Right.
That's the only way you can do it.
That's right. And that's what I came to realize. And I feel a lot better now. I'm not paranoid about the government anymore or any other world situations.
Well, it is right that we keep an eye on the government. It is right that we keep our eyes focused, that they don't do something outrageous and radical and wrong. However, I still perceive there to be generally more freedoms in this country than anywhere else in the whole world. I observe our standard of living to be way beyond most of the rest of the world. In other words, we're still in pretty good shape here. You can travel freely. You can call up this talk show and rant and rave about this and that. You have freedom of speech, in other words. Generally, we are, by comparison, a very, very free country. All of that is true. Now, the challenges to our freedoms and, you know, the compression of our freedoms, or many aspects of the Bill of Rights articles, is mostly due to our own behavior. At least when I stand back, that's the way I see it, as opposed to a simple tyrannical, power-grabbing government that wants to do things to us. And not enough people are focusing on what's going on out here, and too many are focusing on sort of a paranoid us versus them, they're trying to get us, they're trying to make us slaves kind of mentality. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
This is Joe up in Redding, California.
Hi, Joe.
As far as prenatal memories.
Yes.
I remember back before I was born.
You do?
Yes.
What do you remember? I'm very curious about that.
Now, I remember going to a dance with Dad and
yes.
coming home with Mom.
You do?
Yes.
What is it that you remember about that? I mean, did you hear the thump of the music? Did you feel did you feel your dad pressed up in slow dance?
I think it was a jazz song that I remember the most.
A jazz song, huh?
Yeah. Or maybe early rock, Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Have you grown up liking that kind of music?
Yes, I have.
Hmm. Now,
have a good evening.
Wait a minute now. Wait, is this a joke, or do you swear this on your mother's womb?
Of course it's a joke.
Goodbye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Russ calling from Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yes.
And I just started recently listening to your show.
Glad.
What I was wanting to mention was when you were talking about the potato chip earlier, in the Bible, there's so many different versions of the Bible wrote. Are we sure that it's going to be wrote in...
potato chip, sir?
Not a potato chip, but the chip.
Yeah.
There are so many versions of the Bible that date back. They're even finding newer ones now. I mean, older ones. They're up, non-updated. And I was wondering, the 666 that everyone's talking about, if it was going to be in English or in the original writings of the Bible when it was wrote back, when it was mentioned.
I don't know.
That's a good thought. I was wondering with the standoff that's going on, why... Isn't there a way that they could get someone up higher up, like someone they could trust, or maybe someone to interview them, like Bubba Walters or something like that, to open it up even more to let people understand their point of view a lot clearer than trusting the government?
Well, right now, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is not allowing such things. Senator Duke from Colorado is presently doing what Bo Greitz tried to do and acting as a middle person. And that's the last I've heard. So I don't think that any of the networks could get in there. Now, I'm not convinced they're able to get out either. I think their phone communications have been cut and limited to communication with the FBI. I'm not certain about that, but I'm pretty sure.
But don't you think that's kind of unfair? It's kind of keeping the listeners not telling us the whole picture.
Well, maybe we don't have a right to have the whole picture. In other words, these guys have arrest warrants out, right?
Well, yeah.
If there was an arrest warrant out for you, do you think that before that would be served, you had a right to stand there with a threat of gunfire and say, look, I want to talk to the press, give me access to the press? Well, there's nothing that says they're going to do that or have to do that, right?
Good point.
Well, it is a point. I think it's a good one. Once you begin caving into the demands of people who would use guns, you've had it. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1996. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16, 1996.
Dear Art, if you would kindly read your P.O. Box address, I would be nice enough to send you a copy of the latest George Carlin comedy, HBO special. You seem like a George Carlin fan. It's absolutely hilarious. Invite some friends over and have a good laugh. You will. You know, I'm glad... Carter, it's from somebody named Carter, and I'm glad you sent this to me. Thank you. No, I don't need it. I've got a copy of the latest Carlin thing, and I've been meaning to comment on it. I found it, in the first half, at least, to be distinctly unfunny. And I wanted to comment that Mr. Carlin's... foray into politics and the subject of abortion, I found absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And I mean, almost no matter how you feel about abortion, I thought it was disgusting and unfunny. Very unfunny. Now, the second half, when George Carlin's commenting, you know, on the, or creating humor with regard to the human condition, it is funny. There's no doubt about it. And his first album, I'll never forget in all my life. But his foray into the world of political commentary, particularly the bit he did on abortion, I thought was real unfunny. And I didn't like it at all. Not at all. And I meant to comment on that. And so, Carter, I thank you for the facts. But I've already got a copy of it. And I found my reaction to it very interesting because I really did... love George Carlin. In fact, the second half, where he did a thing on the death penalty, was a riot. He suggests, a little gross, of course, but he suggested that we should expand and launch people, catapult people against the wall. And he said if you really wanted to get into it, you would catapult several at a time, you know, about 100 miles an hour into a brick wall. That'd be one way. And some of that was funny, even though it doesn't sound funny the way I'm delivering it right now. It was a riot. But the first about one half of that program was pretty much dedicated to what he was hoping would be political comedy. And I guess for some it was. For me, it wasn't. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Mary in Houston.
How you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Okay.
I wanted to make a comment on the Freeman.
Yes, ma'am.
It just astounds me that us as a nation can take care of other acts of aggression from other countries, Iran, Iraq, and all that, but we can't take care of something like this at home.
It's a good point.
I mean, it's just astounding that all these other countries, whatever they do, we can go in there, take care of it, get it over with, it's done. but a few people in Montana have got us at bay. It's just unbelievable.
Well, it is a little unbelievable, isn't it? And what would you do if you were the agent in charge, or you were Janet Reno, because she'll probably make the decision, I'm sure. What would you do at this point? Would you have waited this long? Would you wait longer? Would you go in? Would you just hold off and wait, or what?
Well, I think we've waited long enough, and I mean, if the law would permit, which I know it wouldn't, I'd make it a military issue.
Would you, let's see, how can I put this? Would you consider their demands that the State Department, or Justice, rather, rule on their points of law?
No, absolutely not.
I
not at gunpoint.
Right. I don't think I would either, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Those who are supporters certainly are in favor of that concession being made, but I don't think you do it. I don't think you can do it. Now, whether or not a court would allow their points of law to be considered in a case, specifically the case that would come of what they're charged with, is questionable, and maybe that's why they're doing this. They want rulings on, I'm sure, big things. They want rulings on what the Federal Reserve is doing, I suppose. They probably want rulings on whether they can do as the Fed does, or they believe the Fed does illegally. They want rulings on whether their liens are proper and legal, all that sort of thing. I can only guess at that. I would like to interview somebody from that area, one of the freemen. I would love to interview them. And would be glad to give them the airtime if they can calculate a way to get to me. Listen to this. Dear Art, regarding the Freeman. Ultimately, all determination of sovereignty is dependent on force of arms. Now, let's consider that line, okay? Regarding the Freeman, ultimately, all determination of sovereignty is dependent on force of arms. Boy, is that wrong. Whether a group of states that decide they do not belong to the Union, a country called Afghanistan, decides to resist what they consider to be outside influence, or a group of people in the state of Montana called Freeman, their ability to establish themselves as sovereign must rest on their ability to defend themselves by force of arms. God. What determines sovereignty? The force of arms, does it really? I suppose that's the ultimate tool in defense of sovereignty. However, the only thing that really ultimately maintains sovereignty is an idea, the idea, I think. The idea. What holds us together as a nation with what we do have, compressed as it may be, is the idea of America. That's what I think. And I think all the guns in the world don't hold something together that is not felt. So, to me, the force of sovereignty is the idea itself. Ideas don't die. People are killed, they're shot, they're hung. Many things happen to people, but ideas survive them if the idea is a proper and correct one, as I believe the construction of our nation basically is not perfect, but the idea is strong, and it survives. When that idea, when that spark is gone, then the nation will go, despite all the guns and all the bombs that anybody can gather together. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. Paul.
Hello.
Mackridge.
Yes, sir.
You know, these new $100 bills, I noticed something about them. Well, not only are they ugly looking.
They are ugly.
Yeah. But they're ugly looking to make them look cheaper, to give them the perception. They're talking about devaluating the money. And then they even go further. They put cheaper ink on these bills than they do on the former bills.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, I just noticed them about a week ago in a bank. You know, where you pulled them, these things just came out. Where you pulled them, it's all white in there, you know?
Yes.
And they haven't been out in circulation for very long, and they were just engineered to look cheap.
Well, they look it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, you said it. Thank you very much for calling, sir. Have a good morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Mark in Reading, listening on KQMS.
Hi, Mark.
You know, I have to say, particularly with regard to your last caller, this woman back east, it absolutely amazes me. In fact, it outrages me to think that people like that are so completely ignorant of constitutional law. For example, the Posse Comitatus Act, where it forbids the use of military weaponry.
Well, sir, I believe she said it would not be legal for that to be done. She simply wished it could be. She didn't say it could be, sir. Were you listening?
Well, yes, I was. I didn't hear that. She must have said it as you were speaking also. But,
no.
But anyway, you know, as far as dealing with these people, you know, fraud, there's no statute of limitations on fraud. These people can be taken into custody at any time. With regard to their request for, having their points of law being reviewed by the Justice Department, you know, I think that in a court of law, there are provisions for administrative remedies like they're talking about. And, you know, although I'm not familiar with the finer points of you know, what they're trying to say, it is legal, and in fact it's being done in a number of places around the country to establish what are called congressional survey common law townships. Now, I don't know if that's what they're trying to do there, but there are areas where people are basically self-administering their own small government. I mean, and after all, that's how this country was founded. It started from the bottom up, you know, of, by, and for the people, you know. And I think that maybe the best way to save lives and resolve the matter is to let these people come into a courtroom peacefully and you know, present their case. And also, as far as the warrants that are being served on them, for example, many warrants will describe the place where the warrant is to be served as a premises. But under law, in legal terms, a premises is a place where merchandise is bought or sold. It would have to say that the warrant was being served on a house or a home or a farm or whatever it is for it to be valid. Plus, under the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment, when a warrant is served, it also has to be accompanied by an oath and an affidavit swearing out the probable cause and the people to be taken and the places to be searched. You know, if these criteria aren't met, then the warrant is invalid.
Well, what makes you think the criterion has not been met?
Well, that's just it. I haven't seen the warrant, so I don't know.
Well,
but I'm guessing that may be their argument.
Well, thank you. I would presume that the FBI has their ducks in a row with regard to the warrant. Wouldn't you? I would presume that, as opposed to the other way around, that it is not a legitimate warrant. I would think that they would have definitely had their ducks in a row and have a legitimate warrant that is serviceable. And right now we have a situation where it cannot be served under threat of being shot. I mean, if an FBI guy tries to go in and serve it, they're going to shoot him. That's all there is to it. And you couldn't get away with that. I certainly could not get away with that. And I think that they need to pay homage to the present system of law and courts, as we would have to do. Now, is there something special or different about this group, something that raises them, other than their guns, above the law, the word, the letter of the law? Not that I am aware of, and the only thing that seems to be doing that is their threat of actual violence. So then you're in a situation where you're going to make a concession based on somebody's the power of the gun, threat of violence. It's not an easy choice. First time caller line, you're on the air.
How you doing, Art?
Okay.
Yeah, well, I've called to clear up something with this Mark of the Beast deal.
I can barely hear you, sir.
Okay, I called to clear up this Mark of the Beast thing that's been going around.
Yeah.
It has to do with the fact that you're working for the Antichrist. It's in your hand and in your forehead. And people are thinking it's computer plastic bull, you know? It has to do with what you're doing with your life.
All right, well, I appreciate that clarification. Thank you. So... Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hold a second.
Hello.
Yeah, Charlie, liberal in California. You know something? I am honestly sick and tired of listening to these extremist people calling in, defending the Montana Times. You know something? One of my heroes was a guy named William Tecumseh Sherman. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But he was an individual in time of the Civil War who understood the fact that when the government is threatened with violence, that you have to react violently. I do not believe that any government can stand that allows people to snub their nose at it for 2 months. I don't believe that.
It is a legitimate problem. I agree.
Well, I think, you know, as far as if a person wants to carry signs and whatever and complain about the government, that's fine. But when individuals start saying, you know something, we're going to take up arms and we're going to start doing violent things against the government, I don't think there's any government that can stand that. In China, you start doing something like that, these guys in China, what would happen is that they'd all have a bullet in their head, yeah, and their families would be charged for the price of the bullet.
Yes,
and that's what some people who sit out here and say this country, compare it to Adolf Hitler's Germany and say we're losing all our freedom, they don't understand that there's not a country on this planet that would put up with that kind of crap for 2 months.
And on the other hand, we are not China, Charlie, and they have not committed... You know, this is not Waco. There have not been federal officials or anybody else killed as of yet, so there's not a capital offense involved.
Well, don't get me wrong when I say this, but I honestly think that there are some societies that are that people think of freedom as being the ultimate good. And I think of, you know, certainly we don't want to be a totalitarian society. I don't believe that. And certainly, when it comes to the Fourth Amendment, I back that. But I honestly believe that that there are some areas that when you allow too much quote-unquote freedom, that it hurts society rather than helping it. And I think this is one particular area where a society needs to tighten up on that. I think if we had done that in the 1840s and 1850s, there would not have been a civil war. And I think we need to understand that when people start suggesting violence against the government, that's when any type of government needs to lay down the law. And I know a lot of people out there who will resent that, but that's the honest to goodness truth, and it's playing out right now. The government's sitting back saying, well, you know, we don't want to do anything because we don't want to get these people upset. I don't give a damn if they're upset or not, to tell you the truth.
All right. Well, the government, should be able to serve lawful warrants without being shot at. Now, the question is whether you push it to a crisis point when you know what's going to happen. You know, the bullets start flying and, God, it could get out of hand so fast. The other hand, you can't really let it go very much longer. As I've said, I'm very, very happy that I'm not making the decision about what has to be done here. And this cannot be an easy call for anybody involved. Because these people have not yet committed a capital offense. And so the use of lethal force under the circumstances is probably inappropriate. So who's the guy who gets the volunteer to, with warrant in hand, go toward the door? Then you've got violence. Then somebody takes a shot, and then it begins. Is that what you do? Is that what you order if you're in charge? Joe Schmo there, here's your warrant, go serve it, guy. And if they shoot you, then, of course, the game is on. Do you do that? You order that guy in? I don't know. But I don't think you cave into special demands before before they will allow themselves to come under the law's auspices, as you would have to, or as I would have to. I'm struggling with this a little bit, I know, but you cannot dismiss totally what Charles just said. First time caller line, you're on the air. No, you're not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yes. I've been trying to get through the last couple of days, and somebody else might have touched on this. I was listening to another talk radio show in the middle of the night, and there was a gentleman on there that said he was either an attorney for the Freeman or wanted to be or something, and he basically said that they had put together and met all the state requirements to become a town or a township and basically had their own legal system and actually convened a grand jury and served subpoenas on some of the federal government people. And, of course, yes, our federal government people tore up the subpoenas and didn't show up, so they lost by default.
Well, I guess anybody can do that, huh?
I don't know.
Set up your own little law within the law, land within the land, sovereignty within the sovereignty, and say, you are sovereign, and we are serving this on you because we think you did something wrong, and see, you owe us $5 million, and so we're going to start writing checks on that, even though you haven't put the $5 million in there, and that's cool.
Well, let's say the town of Pahrump served a subpoena for someone to come down and they didn't show up. What would happen?
Well, being properly constituted as a township, I would imagine there would be legal consequences.
Okay, that's all I got to say. Thanks.
I appreciate your having said it, sir. And I don't imagine they are the same things. Coming up on the top of the hour,
this is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. In Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Good morning, everybody. Tell you what we're going to do. Despite the way I feel about the Freeman situation, I am going to allow a debate between two of you on the subject. So here's what I want. I want one person who would like to represent the Freeman and their cause and what they want, and feel that the Justice Department should cede to their demands and allow a point-by-point examination and opinion of their treatise before they would come out, or whatever other demands they might have before they would come out. If you would like to defend the Freeman, call me now at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Only if you want to defend the Freeman. On the other side of the coin, I would like somebody who would have the opinion that no special a privilege should be accorded the Freeman, that there perhaps should be soon a dynamic entry, an end to this situation, by force if necessary. And you may call me on any other line. Everybody else right now should hang up, because this is the one time that I do go through and screen my calls. When I'm going to have a debate, I do that. All right, we'll get to that in a moment. Now, let us begin with somebody who would like to defend the Freeman. That would be this caller. And your first name, please?
Kevin?
Kevin, you're going to have to get good and close to the phone and really speak up for us, all right?
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's fine. And you want to defend the Freeman, right?
That's correct.
Okay, here is somebody who doesn't feel quite the way you do. His name is it Matt?
Yes, sir.
Matt, and where are you?
Dos Palos, California.
All right. You both have very opposite views of this situation and how it should be resolved. The air is yours.
Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. First of all, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Well, now, it is my opinion that the Freemen don't deserve any kind of special treatment just because they happen to have a skewed view of the way that American government should be run. The fact is that they are in the United States and therefore should be held accountable to all statutes, all laws, everything that applies to being a citizen of the United States, excuse me, including everything that is stated in the Constitution of the United States.
Okay. First off, do you have any evidence that they have a skewed view?
Any evidence?
Yeah.
Well, just the fact that they want to hole themselves up in some compound way out in the middle of the sticks somewhere.
Do you have any evidence that they're in a compound?
Okay.
I mean, in Waco, we had a bunch of people living in a community church, and yet it was called a compound. Automatically, we have these buzzwords attached to anyone who, you know, stands up to the government. They're radical, white, right-wing extremists, anti-government, and they're in a compound. Now, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and some of these other, our forefathers, were considered themselves patriots, and they built a government. Now, does that make them anti-government right-wing extremists?
Well, in a way, yes.
Because they built a government?
Because...
Does that mean automotive engineers are anti-automotive?
See, now you're getting completely off the subject.
No, because they engineered and built a government. Now, if you're an engineer, I'd say that takes a high level of appreciation for what you engineer. That makes you necessarily not interested in what you are building. Okay?
Okay.
But also, consider this. What evidence do you have that they are within the United States?
What evidence do I have?
Yeah.
Well, they are in a territory which is considered a state in the continental United States.
That's true.
So therefore, they are in the United States.
Well, you said
and,
they're within the United States.
And being in the
okay.
United States,
well, now
if a representative of the law of the United States comes knocking on their front door, telling them to peacefully lay down their arms and go with them, and they refuse to do so.
Okay, but now let me ask you this. Do you know there's a case called Oshwander versus Tennessee Valley Authority, okay, also numerous other cases, but in that case, it says that the United States has personal property. Okay?
Okay.
What does that make the United States?
That makes the United States the United States.
It makes the United States a person. Okay? In order to be a person, you have to either be a natural person, firm, individual, or corporation. Okay?
Well, I think
the United States is essentially a corporation. Also, that's another meaning of the term United States. In other words, the corporation that manages and runs the government and carries on business in the government's name.
Okay, now will you please tell me what this has to do with?
Well, you say that all these statutes apply to the United States that they have supposedly violated. Which United States do they apply to? The corporate United States or the landmass known as the United States?
It has to do with anybody who is a person, a business entity, or a personal entity residing in the property which is inside the borders of the United States.
Did you know there's also numerous other cases that say that the citizen is not considered a person under these statutes, that the sovereign, which is the people, we are the sovereignty, that the sovereign is not included within a statute unless he's specifically mentioned. Okay?
That's all well and good, but please.
But these are points of law that they should have addressed. And under administrative law, no person, which in that case is being invoked remedially, which is going to be construed liberally, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. And due process is a hearing, an open and public hearing. That's why these guys cannot be arrested without a hearing. And we make all these assumptions. We make the assumptions that they wrote bad checks. Do we have any evidence of that? I happen to know what they were doing, and they weren't writing bad checks. They were what they call warrants. Okay? And why do you think people called these banks and said, hey, I've got this thing here, and it's for $1 million. What do I do with it? And the bank would say, well, it's good. Go ahead and take it.
Big deal. If they're in the right, if they are truly abiding by the law, if they are truly doing the right thing, then let them knock this stuff off. Let them come out of this, I won't use the word compound, let them come out of their area, give themselves up to the law of the land, go to court and prove themselves right. Prove that they're doing nothing wrong.
Just
by the fact that they are refusing to talk to the FBI, to talk to ATF, to talk to every government agency that is there, it's admitting guilt. It's the same thing as O.J. Simpson saying, oh, I'm innocent, but yet going down I-5 at 45 miles an hour with a fake beard and mustache with a .45 pointed to his head going, please don't arrest me.
He was guilty.
These people are guilty. If they're truly innocent, then let them come out and prove that they're innocent.
Okay, so I'm really glad you brought up O.J. Do you think that the other probably hundreds of poor black and white people that do what O.J. do every year would be acquitted or would have been found guilty?
I think they probably would have been found guilty. But
and
that in and of
acquitted.
Itself has nothing to do with the Freeman. I only used O.J. and his flight as, you know, in the context of illustrating a point that guilt is guilt. When you show that you're guilty, you are guilty.
That's not necessarily true.
If they truly are innocent, if they haven't done a dang thing wrong, then let them come out, have their day in court. Otherwise than that, you know, that dog don't hunt.
No, because I'll tell you why. Our courts are a sham. That's why. They know what goes on in court. The fact is that if you can throw mega bucks at the court system, you can maybe get your due process, okay? But if you don't have mega bucks, you'll be slammed in jail, just like Schweitzer is waiting in jail right now. You will not have access to law, not have access to your families, not have access to decent counsel, because the lawyers are all a bunch of whores that'll do whatever the government tells them to do, and they took an oath to that effect. They took an oath to support the Constitution, but to defend the government, okay? I bet you didn't know about that one.
Well,
and that the courtroom is not a place where truth comes out. I got a letter from a guy in Arizona the other day that is in prison for 18 years, and he tried to bring in the Constitution of Arizona, the Constitution of the United States, and the Declaration of Independence, and they said, oh, those can't be brought into court. They're excluded because they're hearsay. You would have had to have been a signer of one of those documents to bring it in. See, I think that's what the Freemen are a little bit afraid of, is the fact that they may be prosecuted on a law that is pursuant to one of those documents, and yet they would not be able to bring that document in to look for the original intent of that document. Because of the rules of evidence, they'd be excluded. And now they would have the cameras excluded, so no one could see what these criminal judges are up to.
Are you there, caller?
Yes, yep. I'm still here.
All right.
Okay. I'm just giving this man, this gentleman, time enough to express his viewpoint.
All right.
Okay. Now then, first of all, you say that these people aren't going to get their fair due process. They're not going to get their day in court.
That's correct.
Well, I don't buy that.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I'm even naive. But I happen to believe that innocence, that justice will prevail. Whether you're innocent or you are guilty, justice will prevail. Maybe not 100% of the time, but in a large number of cases, the guilty really do go to jail, and the innocent really do get off.
Well, that's a myth.
Well, no,
I'm
it's
sorry,
not.
Sorry, but
no,
you know how Abe Lincoln felt that it was better to release 500 guilty men than to send one innocent man to prison. Now, is that the standard that we have operating in this country today?
No, I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. And I think this country is abysmally failing at protecting the liberties of its citizens. The guilty guy, you're going to get another whack at him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we, the people, live in this country not for safety but for liberty. So we'll take our chances. We should be well-armed to help protect ourselves, okay, and live in communities where people, you know who's decent to work with and who's not. But the fact is today that we have a government that is harvesting its people, and it's very easy, I have seen, for prosecutors, corrupt cops like Furman, and corrupt judges to get together, and corrupt defenders, public defenders, to get together and railroad someone. It's as easy as pie, especially when you've got somebody like the Freeman who have a message and who also have a multiple of hundreds of trillions of dollar commercial lien perfected against the Federal Reserve Bank to be railroaded and put away forever, and everybody to think, oh yeah, they were a bunch of bad guys.
Well, they are a bunch of bad guys.
How do you know that?
Just look at their actions. I mean, I'll grant you, it's one thing to believe in the right to bear arms. It's one thing to believe against gun control. But when you take such actions as to go to the extreme, you know, if these guys really were innocent, they wouldn't have been unwilling to talk to anybody. They wouldn't have been so unwilling to make contact with representatives of the United States government for 54 days, now would they?
How do you know they didn't want to make contact?
What do you mean, how do I know they didn't?
Everything you learn, you're learning through the FBI and through the media. Who is holding them in there? The FBI.
No, they're holding themselves in there. If
no,
they,
they
want,
are not
if they
going
wanted
to come
leave,
out and go through these kangaroo courts. They
if they wanted,
agreed,
if they wanted to leave, all they would have to do is walk out the front door
and be thrown right into our crazy upside down system with no due process. Believe me, there's nothing that these guys are more expert at than denying people their due process through rules of procedure. The fact is that the other guy I talked about in Arizona, they used the rules of procedure to directly assault what he felt was his due process, which was his constitutionally secured rights, and the intention of the framers who secured those rights.
Well,
I'm sorry, but you obviously are either a cop or you're in the system somehow, but you have not had to deal with the business end of this system.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to have to break it off here. I want to thank you both.
Thank you.
All right,
take
care. I think that that caller was making some assumptions on his own. But to presume the other caller was a cop, that's kind of a reach. To suggest, it seems to me, the system is so broken that it generally does not convict people who should be convicted and set those free who should be set free, is also, in my view, and I may be also old-fashioned, but that is incorrect. I think that the system generally functions properly and occasionally does not. It's not a perfect system, but it's not bad either. Art, you poo-pooed the comment about guns making and keeping freedom. But could we have become a nation without them? Could Israel be a nation without them? Could Chechnya be free without them? The answer to all of that is no, and I didn't poo-poo it. I said they are the final tool. But what makes us sovereign and makes us what we are is the idea of America. It is the Constitution and the belief in the freedoms and the rights that were articulated by our founding fathers. It's the idea. The strength of an idea is stronger than a bullet. And when the idea fades, then you've got nothing left to use but bullets. That's what I was trying to convey.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1996.
I really want to make something quite clear, and maybe there's something here I want to talk to you about. I'm a big believer in gun rights. I own guns. I've always, all my life, owned guns. But I don't think that guns are what keeps America together. And we shouldn't confuse gun rights and the ownership of guns, possession of guns, and begin to confuse it as the only thing that keeps us together as a nation. Answer that question. What does keep us together as a sovereign nation? What answer would you give? My gun, Art. My gun keeps us together. No. Something far more profound than a gun keeps us together. A gun is the last resort. It's the absolute last resort. What keeps us together is what we are, America. It's our Constitution, it's our Bill of Rights, it's our belief in the nation we live in, that what we are doing is right, generally moral, ethical. When we lose all of that, then all you're going to have left is a gun, and you're going to need it. So I'm a believer in gun rights, but that's not what holds us together. That's not what we're about. Not to me, anyway. It's just sort of something that's there as a, you know, like the money-back guarantee at the bottom line. There's a lot more that holds us together, in my opinion, and makes us sovereign, and makes us Americans, than guns. You follow me? I hope you do. So I don't poo-poo guns, but they're not our only guarantee of freedom. Our freedom, our country, our nation, it comes from a lot more than that. And if it didn't, we would have fallen apart, believe me, a long time ago. The guns would have been rattling away a long time ago. So we'll get back to this in a moment. I would like to talk with you about that, though. I've got a story here you're not going to believe, or may not want to believe. It is from Ojai, California. Ventura County health officials have found evidence of, brace yourself, bubonic plague in wild rodents at a campground in the Los Padres National Forest. The U.S. Forest Department has temporarily closed the Wheeler George Campground near Ojai so workers can combat the disease. Plague is common among wild animals like chipmunks and squirrels. The disease is transmitted to humans by bites from infected fleas. Fleas, I said. But it is curable when diagnosed early. Symptoms include lethargy, nausea, muscle aches, high fever, swollen glands. Health officials advise the public to avoid contact with chipmunks and squirrels, dead animals, and to protect pets with flea powder or collars. They also warn owners to leave pets out of areas where plague has been detected. So what's old is new. Can you believe it? The bubonic plague. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is James in Oklahoma City.
Sir, you're all muffled and I can't...
Well, hello. I'd like to talk about your discussions on topics.
Yes.
The free men.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if they wrote those hot checks, the people they wrote them to take them to the district attorney's office. The district attorney mails the freeman a letter saying pay the penalties plus the checks. They have so much time to do it, and then no charges will be brought. That's the way they work that out in the banking industry.
All right, sir, but the thing is, they're not, thanks for the call, you're hard to understand. It's not just hot checks. It is alleged as well that they threatened the lives of local officials, that they gave put bounties out on local officials. I mean, there are some fairly serious charges involved here. So it's got to be worked out, and I think it's got to be worked out within the same system of law that the rest of us would face. Now, the argument is, and I heard that man arguing, that they will not be allowed to address these issues. Well, they'll be allowed to address the issues that bear on what they're charged with. Either, you know, the liberals are so fond of saying it, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, the law is a law is a law is a law, right? At least that is clear to me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to talk to Art Bell.
That's me.
That's you, huh?
Go ahead.
About the Super Cobra?
Chupacabra, yes.
I read an old book. It was Greek mythology. And the Super Cobra was more or less a harpy.
What's a harpy?
Well, it's an animal that's got upright ears, it's got a long tail, it's got a spade, kind of like on the tail of it.
Mm-hmm.
The head is a little human and a little like a dog.
Hmm.
You know, it's got a snout like.
Sounds like you're talking about Ross Perot.
This is a harpy.
Harpy.
It's the devil's imps.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they were sent here to pester people and stuff, you know?
Well, we feel very pestered. Thank you very much for the call. We certainly are at the least pestered. There's no question about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once. Going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment on your position on this issue.
Sure.
And then raise a couple of counter arguments. Actually, I'm progressive, so I'm kind of left of your friend from San Diego named Charlie. However, I do see the Freeman's position. You are truly conservative to the extent that your entire approach to this is a total defense of the status quo, including a total defense of law enforcement, the judicial system. At least you haven't presented any suggestions for improving it. But let me run down a couple of things. First, who controls legislation?
All right, before you get to that, you are correct. I am defending the present system. I'm not saying it is perfect, but and nor would I say that I'm in a position to say how it would be improved. I think juries are good, generally, not perfect, but a trial by your peers. I like the system.
Well, okay. I have two sets of comments. The first set of comments relates to the judicial system. Who controls legislation is the first question. Realizing that 1% of the population controls 40% of the wealth, 10% controls 70% of the wealth, we know that almost all legislation in Congress and in the state legislatures are certainly not controlled by the majority of the people. Second, the law has become much more complex.
Wait a minute. One thing at a time. Your argument would carry more weight if there was a disproportionately large vote allotted to those with the resources you talked about, the top 1 or 10% or whatever. But, in fact, everybody has one vote.
Except that money controls elections, and the people with the money have the greater opportunity to get their establishment candidates elected. The second point is complexity of the law. The law is so complex that a person with a high school education or even a college education cannot understand it. The cost of legal assistance is beyond most people's ability to pay, and the burden of the legal system with more and more people coming under the weight of more and more laws puts a great burden on prosecutors and the court system, which means they want quick
sir,
and
but
they're
willing
to sacrifice justice.
All right, but we have a system where if you cannot afford an attorney, one is in fact appointed for you.
Well, then the question is, there's the procedural question raised by the previous caller that in practice the public defender, the judge, and the prosecutor all work in concert to achieve a result, ignoring the interest of the individual accused of a crime. But I want to go to the broader argument related to the Constitution, et cetera. This country was the first country established by a group of men who represented the will of the people. This generation has inherited the decisions made by our forefathers in the late 1700s.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the premises that led those men to revolt against government have rearisen today. The country has become skewed. There is no redress when government makes an error. The argument that government is now a corporation with enforcement agencies unaccountable for their actions. There are no ombudsmen in this country to represent the interests of the citizen. So it is natural that there is a growing dissatisfaction with the role that government has in our lives. And so and given the assumptions that led to the American Revolution, namely, we have a list of grievances, the grievances aren't met, and therefore people can revolt when the government doesn't serve their interest. We are moving more and more in a direction where government does not serve our interest.
But I think your assessment of the inequity is way overblown. I don't think it's as great as you suggest that it is. I don't think that it's anywhere near the kind of repression that caused America to originally rebel.
Well, which inequity are you talking about?
In general terms, and I'm responding in general terms.
Let me give you one final example. We had a local election in here. I'm calling from Santa Cruz, by the way, California.
Okay.
We had a local election, and we had a grassroots candidate running.
Yes.
What his politics were is irrelevant, but it's the procedural question.
Right.
He came very close to winning, but what happened in the election was the institutional established figures in both political parties, both Republicans and Democrats, in essence, marshaled all their resources to defeat this candidate.
Yes.
The point being is that when you have a real representative from the grassroots representing the people, they can't get elected.
It's just not true. Now, what you just said, I took it in. You said there was a grassroots candidate. Okay. And that's fine. And that indicates to me, number one, that a grassroots candidate can still be part of the political process. Then you said the Democrats and the Republicans, the mainstream parties, marshaled their resources to defeat him. Well, if the so-called grassroots candidate, ideas are very powerful, and if he was able to present his idea in a way that captured the voters' imagination and support, all the television ads and all of the marshaled resources could not defeat him. I believe that. Number two, if his ideas were strong, then he would attract resources himself. And people complain there is not but the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Right? They complain about that. But if there was an idea, these parties are only supported by ideas, and I won't get bogged down in what those ideas are. Most of you, I think, know the difference between a conservative and a liberal. If there became a new idea, a wonderful new ideology that eclipsed or took into consideration the main points of the liberals and the conservatives, or in some way meshed them, or the libertarians, or whoever, if the idea became powerful enough, it would automatically attract support and money, as the two main parties do now. And so you're complaining, really, when you think about it, you're complaining that these ideas are not powerful enough to attract that kind of money. But we live in a nation where it can be done. All you need is an idea that is powerful enough, and if you have it, you will attract support, you will attract money, you will win. It can still be done. First time caller line, you're on the air. Or would have been. We just missed you. West of the Rockies, you're on. Whoops. Missed you too. Son of a gun. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to make a point about something Damian Brinkley said on your show a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
He said that the government is creating a separate outcast class.
Yes.
And I believe that's very true. I've seen homeless people in preparation for the Republican convention in San Diego literally gunned down by police surrounding them because they have nothing else to do with them, and it's becoming a shooting party or something.
No, wait a minute. When did the police surround and shoot down homeless people?
It was by the railroad tracks. The guy was pretty flipped out, but they could have overpowered him easy, but they just did it with their guns, and there was a memorial service for him by other homeless.
Did he have a weapon?
A little knife or something?
He had a knife. Uh-huh.
A little knife, but it's no contest. And there's, like, the laws, everything are very complicated. And it's happening. What Daniel said is right.
All right. I appreciate your call, but without being familiar with the case, it's really hard to comment on. Now, look, one thing that you cannot do is you cannot take a lethal weapon, gun or knife, and threaten a police officer with it. You can't do that. And you said he was flipped out with a knife. Well, if you do that, it's a good possibility you're going to get shot. There's no question about it. There's a good possibility you're going to get shot. It's something you just can't do. Now, that's a long leap from the police are getting together in shooting parties and randomly shooting down homeless people so they won't be around for the convention. That's quite a reach, sir. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is Joe. I'm in Conroe, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering if there was any chance you might could do us a favor. There's some of us out here that really love all the music, the bumper music and everything that you play.
Yes.
But we never get enough of it. So what my idea is, why don't you make a compilation, a tape or a CD or whatever you prefer, of all of your bumper music, and then you could put it on the air, and we could all play those songs all the way through.
Well, the problem with that is that each one of those songs is in itself copyrighted, obviously. And it would be a nightmare trying to get releases on all the copyrights. It's not impossible, but it would be quite a job.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's too bad. I think it'd be really nice. Some of them are easily accessible, I know, but like the one, I think it's a marching band playing Tusk from
yes.
Fleetwood Mac.
That's right.
I don't know how in the world I'd get that. But it's a pretty interesting rendition.
It is indeed.
And I wanted to say one other thing. I was listening to Charlie tonight, and on the one hand, I was gratified by some of the things he said because it kind of brought back the old Charlie. He's been way too nice the last few times I've heard him. And I thought something really bad might be wrong with him.
Really?
But he sort of sounded like his old self again tonight, and it seems fitting to me that he would admire someone like William Tecumseh Sherman, who, being a Texan, is not dear to my heart, and I think that really he's vilified much as Charlie is by people in both the North and the South, and he is given to fits of uncontrollable anger, or at least he was.
So you like Charlie better when he's his cantankerous, ridiculous self, eh?
Well, you know, if you have to have a Charlie, and I guess we do, well, then he should remain true to form, I think.
All right, sir, thank you. just doesn't like it when he begins to hear some reason from somebody. He wants the wild man back, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there. Goodbye. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Rockies, you're on the air. Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello there.
Turn your radio off, please.
Did it.
Good.
Got it off.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, you got any free time coming up? We're going to go on a safari down here in Southern Oregon, see if we can catch one of them chupacabras.
No, I'm busy.
Well, darn. Thought it'd be a good idea. You might want to get in on the publicity there.
Send me the video.
All right.
All right, thank you, and good luck to you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
I was just wondering, has anybody ever thought of what would happen if they overthrow the government? Who's going to take over?
Well, I guess representatives or the people who did the overthrowing would take over.
It'd be pretty chaotic, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yes. Pretty chaotic. Be a lot of change.
Yeah, and then they're saying they're anti-American, but they took money for their, you know, subsidies for their farms, too.
All right, thank you for the call. Well, yeah, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Ja Rastafari, good night, America.
Well, you didn't quite make it. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Wonderful, Art. This is David in Port Townsend, Washington.
All right.
All these people talking about the government this, government that. What about the marijuana prohibition?
What about it?
Well, what is it? Half the people, what is it, 1 million people in jail?
Listen, they're not all in jail for marijuana.
Oh,
no, no time left. The show is over. Say goodnight, America.
Goodnight, America.
From the high desert, goodnight, America.